Welcome to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast, brought to you by Vautier Communications. I'm your host, Jen Alex, and the goal of this show is to uncover communication strategies and behaviors that you can use to improve the way that you show up and perform at work. We'll talk about what effective communication looks like in action so that you can apply it to your own career. If you'd like a written summary of each episode, subscribe to our weekly email newsletter by visiting vautiercommunications.com. Welcome back, everyone, for another month of the Speak As Well As You Think podcast. And today, the team is going to talk about active listening. It's obviously a big component of everybody's life, both on a personal and a professional basis. So we're going to call this skill the silent skill. And today, we'd like to discuss the, in our opinion, the top three things that you'd like to think about doing as an active listener and the top three things you'd like to try to avoid when you are being an active listener. And I really love the quote from Kate Murphy's book, You're Not Listening. She says, listening is not about teaching, shaping, critiquing, appraising, or showing how it should be done. Listening is about the experience of being experienced. And I think that's really important to think about. A lot of us go into listening with the intent to respond, with the intent to help somebody, and we might have great intentions. We're trying to be a good listener and helpful, whether that's professionally or personally. But sometimes we need to approach listening as we are just there to hear and to see what the other person has to say, consider that information, but it's not necessarily trying to change somebody's mind, teach them something, or have them do something differently. So if we think about the top three things that we'd like to do, in my opinion, one of the most important things is to be mindful of your nonverbals. And while this isn't the only component to being a good listener, it certainly helps set you up for success as a listener, as well as show the person that's speaking that you're actually interested and curious about what they're saying. So some of those nonverbals are things like giving the person your eye contact. It's not 100% eye contact. You don't want it to get weird or uncomfortable, but you don't want to be glancing down at your phone the whole time, looking out a window, scrolling something on your laptop, because when we talk to different groups about things they dislike in others who listen to them, one of the biggest things is people that multitask, because to them, it doesn't feel like they are important or that what they're sharing is worth the other person's time. And that's a really tough place to be as somebody that's trying to share something that you either need help with or that you're looking to get off your chest. If the other person or group of people don't seem interested in it, it's an easy way of breaking that relationship as you continue to move forward. Some other things you can think about on the nonverbal side, keep an open posture or body language. Don't be too closed off or constantly moving, making it seem like, I don't have time for this. Can you give it to me any faster? Facing the person and having that open body language is really helpful in subconsciously letting the other person know that you are interested in what they have to say. There's a bunch of other things that we can think about within that space, but I would say those are probably the two biggest components when it comes to the nonverbal side. John, let's go to you next. What do you think is the most important thing to think about when it comes to listening from your perspective?
Sure. Jen, you made the comment already about listening with the intent to fully understand.
Yeah.
Instead of listening to reply, to respond. As we think about most interactions, it shouldn't feel like a race to get something out of your mouth as quickly as you can after you've listened.
Right.
Part of that is just basically you, the listener, processing what's been shared. And in some cases, this would be putting ourselves in other people's shoes. This might be listening across cultures as we hear some things that might be norms in one part of the world or in one business environment that might not be norms in ours, but trying to think about, okay, can I keep an open mind and understand where this person is coming from? Mm-hmm. Understand the emotions that come with people sharing information with you. Doesn't matter what the message could be. But Stephen Covey's got that great quote, we need as listeners to listen with the intent to understand, not just the intent to reply or respond. Part of it is maybe playing back what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
So as you've listened to what someone has shared with you, but it's not about what you hear. It's really about what was the intent in whatever the person was sharing what they shared.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, it's on the responsibility of the listener to make sure those two things align. because we all realize messages can get mixed or interpreted differently, or those lapses or gaps in communication happen. But they often happen as a result of one party not listening thoroughly and instantly jumping in to reply or respond,
right,
when whatever was shared first may not have been fully understood on the front side.
Yeah.
So
and I always, it, sorry, go ahead.
It's easier said than done. It's something that you made the comment of, we need to be mindful of this.
Yeah.
Going into interactions, most of us know with whatever content is being shared, where we might fall on the spectrum, I'll call it, of, do I agree with this? Do I disagree with this? Is this a hot button topic? Is this something I'm going to feel emotional about? But all of those variables can influence or impact how we show up as a listener. And so being mindful and maybe having a small checklist of things going in and saying, okay, I know this interaction based on the topic might have me feel a certain way. Let me make sure when I have some of those feelings to immediately jump in and reply or immediately go to a response, I can let things process. I can clarify, I can replay, I can play back, whatever those mechanisms might be, so that you get full understanding of whatever it is being shared from the person sharing it from their perspective.
And I think that's a big thing to remember in general for listening is we're all human. We're dealing with human beings. Listening is an innately human behavior, which means that those feelings that we're feeling on any certain day about any certain topic because of a conversation we had in the morning, a meeting we had earlier in the day, whatever it may be, the frustration, maybe anger, or on the other side, maybe the happiness and the exclamation. Those things that we're seeing both on the speaker and on the listener side are things that we have to take into account no right. matter where we are. Because again, remembering that they may, or the listener on the other side of the aisle may not necessarily fully disagree or feel as hot as they're saying they do right now.
Yeah.
There may be other factors at bay. Because again, when we're listeners, of course, there's going to be those same factors for us.
Right. We're all under the influence of something. And most often it's an emotional response of some sort. Could have nothing to do with the actual conversation you're in right now. But you get home from work, you're talking with your significant other, you've had a particularly frustrating day at work. And for whatever reason, everything they're telling you is just grinding your gears. And it has nothing to do with that individual. It has nothing to do with what they're saying. It's just perhaps you're on emotional overload. And so your ability to listen or respond, I'll call it appropriately, or showing up as they're asking you to show up might not be very easy for you to do.
Sure.
And I really like to remind my clients that one of the questions you might ask somebody in a listening situation is, are you looking for advice or a response, or are you looking for a sounding board? And that way you as the listener know how to show up. You know, should I be listening to things where I can form an opinion and give my suggestion or a recommendation? Or is this something where somebody just needs to get this off their chest and I need to be able to bite my tongue and let them share that without interruption, without a response of some sort, unless it's specifically asked for.
Yeah. And it's a great point, Jen. It also helps the person you're interacting with understand if and when I decide to change gears and I am looking for advice, I can make that known up front. And I can say very politely, I would love your input here, or I'd love some advice on this situation. And then you understand it. And it's that simple lane change that everybody knows because you turned on your turn signal.
Yep.
But it's the constant weaving back and forth with no turn signals that often makes those interactions a lot messier. Another point I wanted to highlight from this same space, the two of you mentioned this emotional state that we find ourselves in. It's such a roller coaster across a given day. And that doesn't even account for 5 days of a week. You know, how you show up on a Monday morning can be wildly different than what's happening for you on Wednesday afternoon. And then again, a massive shift come Friday late afternoon when you're at the end of a long work week, you're shutting down the workday and you're getting into, okay, I've got 2.5 days now of personal time with family. But we've got so many things impacting or influencing all of the emotions that are constantly pulling and tugging at us. And that's really what shaped the listening experience for both parties involved.
Yeah.
Big thing we have to remember too is we wear those emotions on our face as that listener when we're not speaking. Like Jen talked about those nonverbals that we give, if those nonverbals aren't in line with the conversation or in line with how we feel, the nonverbals for our underlying emotions are going to show through. And that's how that speaker is going to think we feel about the topic. That's just another reason why those nonverbals are so important. Again, we want to make sure that what we're showing is the way that we actually feel about what that speaker is saying. And it's not giving them differing views or a differing form of opinion about what we actually think.
Yeah, totally agree. And that's one of the things that I try to be mindful of. Not so much, I think I'm decent with my nonverbals. I try to think about that. And Matt, as you mentioned, show up appropriately based on the setting itself. But I'm a fixer. I've always been a fixer. I like to help people try and solve problems. If people come to me sharing something, that's very much how I typically respond. John's smiling right now. We've obviously grown up together for our entire life, every single day. So he knows that well. And that's something that I've really tried to be mindful of, is asking in those conversations, what are you looking for from me? Because I don't want to go right into fix it mode if that's not what somebody's looking for. So just being straightforward and honest, knowing and being self-aware of some of your listening blocks or your tendencies and how you respond in situations can be really helpful. And then you can approach it in that open and honest way of, I tend to be somebody that provides advice. If you are not looking for that, I don't want to come doing that, because it's not going to match what it is you're hoping to accomplish.
And I think that this is honestly an excellent lead into to kind of what my big do is here, which also leads into kind of what my don't is. But my do revolves around, when you walk into that room and now it's not coming from what occurred to me earlier in that day or what occurred to this party earlier in that day, but it's simply, I know that I feel differently about this topic than that speaker does, or I know that I'm not a big fan of that person at the front of the room speaking. All of us, every single person listening, has at least one of those listening relationships where they walk into that room and they say, man, this person's giving a talk right now. I wish I could run the other way.
Yep.
And again, we know that we still have to sit through those. No matter how long that talk is, how short that talk is, or how much we disagree, it's something that professionally we have to sit through with an open mind.
Yep.
The first do for me is being curious. Making sure that even though we don't agree with that person, we can find some sort of silver lining or some sort of new fact or learn some sort of piece that is educating us from what we had before. Again, whether it's educating us on believing further into our beliefs than we already do, or it's helping us to kind of flip that curtain and say, do you see it from the other side of the coin? Either way, try to find a piece that you may not have heard before or that may be educating you somewhere.
Yeah. And I think, Matt, it's such a great point. Just because we've listened doesn't make us have to agree with what's being shared.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a common misconception, is people think, I don't agree with this person, and so I'm just not going to listen. We can still listen politely. We can still listen with an open mind. And we can still say at the end of listening, I simply don't agree with that. And that's what makes healthy interactions. And that's where a lot of what we call crucial conversations exist today. But Matt, you probably see this in the coaching environment with your lacrosse athletes. There will certainly be athletes that you have coached or are coaching currently that may not agree with everything that you provide in terms of instructions, coaching mechanisms, techniques, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for the other party to disagree or feel differently or have a differing point of view. But you look across sports and you look across life, there are certainly going to be instances where healthy relationships exist because people feel safe sharing whatever's on their mind. And they don't feel like, I'm going to get dismissed immediately if I share this, or I know by me sharing something, no one's going to listen to what I have to say because they feel some way about me.
Yeah. And it goes back to a quote from Kate Murphy's book. This is a book that Jen referenced at the beginning. And the quote there is, we only become secure in our convictions by allowing them to be challenged, which means you can't be a person that is so stuck in your ways that you don't listen to the other side of the aisle. Yep. The other side of the aisle almost always has a reason for the way that they think the way that they do, which again, everybody deserves to have their own opinion. And two, they likely have a piece that you can learn or that can educate you further one way or the other on whatever this topic is. But if you don't allow yourself to be challenged, you're missing out on 50% of that viewpoint, which again, you're not allowing yourself to uncover that full story if you're only looking at half of the information.
Yep. And I think that's a great point. And one of the biggest places we can see this right now is in our most recent political debate that took place earlier in September. Again, regardless of what candidate you believe in, what policies you believe in, when the candidates don't listen to each other or don't listen to the other side and try to ask questions to uncover more information and try and see from their perspective, it almost feels immature. And for people that are potentially going to be leading our country, we would like that person to have an open mind. Just because you listen does not mean you have to agree. It does not mean you have to support what the other side is saying. But I think it gives you that level of maturity and openness to say, I feel this way, but what am I missing? And as Matt mentioned earlier, it might just be that it solidifies even more your current opinion. And what you think, it just drives that point home even stronger than it did before you went into it. Or it could potentially change your mind and say, okay, I now see the other side. I still believe that my viewpoint or my opinion might be better, quote unquote, but I can understand where you're coming from now at this point. And I think that really is what shows growth in an individual.
And me and my girlfriend actually had a conversation. It was probably 2 or 3 nights ago. We were just generally talking about our opinions on things and our views. And there's topics in which we see differently.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is when we have that conversation, the quote that comes out of both of us is, I don't see it the way that you see it, but I completely understand why you feel the way that you do,
yeah.
Which again, if I'm the speaker, that's all that I want to hear. I'm
exactly.
Not trying to change your mind. I'm not trying to pull strings. I just want to make sure that I can have my opinion and you respect what my opinion is, because that's important to all of us. We want to know that we're listened to. We want to know that, like John said, that our opinion is safe with that person that's listening to it. And yep. Again, that they're not going to judge us, spar us, or try to change our mind there.
Yeah. And that we're just respected in that space, that I'm allowed to have an opinion. I'm allowed to share what that opinion is in an appropriate way. Again, belittling somebody or making fun of somebody or talking over somebody, those things, especially professionally, are not acceptable. Really, I would not say that they're acceptable in a personal relationship either. Those aren't characteristics of somebody that respects you as an individual, but just feeling like I can share something and my opinion is respected, even if it's not agreed with, is life-changing is not the word I want to use, but it's refreshing to be able to have those relationships. Okay, so those are our top three do's, if you will. On the don't side, Matt, you said that yours kind of tie together there. So you want to take us through your don't on that perspective?
Yeah, my don't with the differing views is it's like a lot like you touched on with the presidential debates and things that we see so often. And it's don't clone what you're seeing in modern day media, modern day television, and modern day debates and things that are getting high ratings and getting reviews and such that are more in the public eye for a entertainment point of view,
yeah,
as things that we should be doing in our listening relationships, in business, and in our personal relationships. Because one, listening, as we said, is the silent form of communication, and communication makes up our reputation as a professional and as an individual.
Yep.
If we, in every single circumstance in which there is a differing view, we don't agree with a person, we don't agree with a topic, we jump down their throat, we are trying to change minds, we are stomping our feet and essentially pouting,
yep,
that's going to be something that people pick up on. There's going to be a good chance that these differing views conversations don't happen with us as often, which is going to lead to a downstream lack of information that right. we're going to get from our network and from other networks around us. We want to remember that how we listen is just as important as how we speak to people. The nonverbals, the rolling our eyes, the huffing and puffing, all of these things are being picked up on by the speaker as though we were verbally disrespecting them back. So when we get into these conversations, remember, keep the level head, leave the bias at the door, and use that golden rule that we talk about as little kids. One, stay curious, but two, treat that person you're listening to how you would want to be treated by a listener.
Yep. Easy as that. My girlfriends make fun of me because I very rarely watch any reality TV. I've never really been interested in it. Maybe Real World, Road Worlds back in the very long time ago mm-hmm. days. But other than that, I've never been a huge reality TV interest. Part of it is because I hate confrontation as an individual. Mm-hmm. It makes me uncomfortable. I know it's something I'm trying to work on because confrontation is a part of life and it's something that everybody will experience. So it's not something I can completely ignore. But things like Real Housewives of Pick Any City, those shows make me cringe. And a lot of it, yes, I don't know if their behavior and what they do has an acting component to it. They're using that type of listening, responding, communication with each other because it's reality TV and they're getting paid to be on TV and make money this way. Or if that's really how those people are on a day-to-day basis. But we can probably all agree, whether you love reality TV or not, that is not the type of relationship you want to have in your home and with your significant other or your kids on a day-to-day basis.
And one of the big things that we hear coming out of a lot of these reality TV shows, whether it's Survivor, whether it's yeah. Big Brother, any of these, is people come out of these shows and they say, hey, the way that they depicted my character is not at all who I am as a person. Yeah. We want to remember a lot of these TV shows, a lot of these programs are editing and cutting these things together for the ratings. They're yeah. showing you the things that are more confrontational, that are a little bit louder, that are a little bit more out there. Because yeah. again, they know more people are going to watch and they know more people are going to talk about it. At the end of the day, though, we hear it coming from the horse's mouth. That's really not how the experience is as a whole. And that's really not how a lot of these people interact with each other in their general day-to-day lives.
Yep. And that's why I think sound bites, media sound bites they're catchy and they sway a lot of people's opinions. But I think it's so important to try and go back and listen to the full clip. Make sure that you get the full context of what was the question that was asked or the interaction that was taking place. What was the full response throughout that? Sound bites can be very manipulative in how they're portrayed. And then that quick, maybe 30-second response that somebody has, what you hear might not always match up with what the context of the conversation is. So it can easily be spun, which is not always fair.
Yeah, it's Denzel Washington has that great quote, and it's yeah. from reading news, not so much listening news, but I feel like it plays in both categories. But he says, if you don't read the news, you're uninformed. If you do read the news, you're misinformed.
Yep.
So sadly, we live in a place now where you have to take that anything that you hear or read with a grain of salt and do your own research and go back and say, what was the full sound clip or what was the real intent? Because back to Matt's point, end of the day, it's shock value, it's entertainment value. And some of the things that we feel like we listen to in bits and pieces are specifically pushed that way because it's a bit and a piece and it doesn't necessarily fit a full picture or might only fit one narrative.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great point. For, in my opinion, my don't or thing to avoid when it comes to being a good listener is interrupting. And I know that this is difficult because there are people that interrupt on purpose. And for those people, it is irritating and frustrating for others that might be trying to listen to when somebody's constantly cutting the speaker off. But there are also people that interrupt unconsciously. They don't realize that they're doing it, and they're doing it with good intent. Meaning, perhaps that's how I clarify information. I want to be sure I heard you the correct way so I'm not making assumptions. but I don't realize that I'm interrupting you in the moment to clarify that information. For some people, it's how we process information. I hear something and I want to add something in to show you that I'm listening, I'm paying attention. I feel the same way. Again, not realizing that I'm interrupting. Now, interrupting, I don't want you to think that two of us start talking at the same time and all of a sudden I'm interrupting. That happens in conversation, especially when you come to a group. Multiple people might start to respond at the same time. That's where, you know, somebody says, sorry, John, go ahead. And they finish, or I continue from there or whatever. But trying to let people and give them the space to actually finish what they're saying before you ask a question, before you form a response or share something that might relate to their point. Because it's hard for people to try and hop back into what they were saying when they've been interrupted multiple different times throughout a single sentence, a single slide, a single conversation that they're trying to have. And so one of the things that I always recommend is take notes. Be somebody that takes notes. Now, I don't know, in a personal phone call with your significant other or your mom, you might not need to sit down and take notes about what she's saying and your responses, but try to let the other person finish, because things can get heated. And that's where we have to think back to that emotional side. When I can't finish saying what I'm saying, I'm getting frustrated as the speaker. And then that starts to cut through where perhaps I start to talk louder, or now I interrupt you as the listener who's speaking because you've interrupted me. And then you're frustrated because you didn't get to finish your thoughts. So then you speak over me. And all of a sudden, 75 seconds in, we're now shouting at each other simply because neither of us would let the other finish.
It makes me laugh because the amount of childhood dinners around the dinner table that we had, where I have a twin brother and my mom used to say that we speak our own language. Yep. And my mother would start saying something and me or my brother would cut her off or interrupt her to say something to the other brother. Yep. And I can't tell you how many times dinner ended where my mom said, that's it, we're not doing this. And she would stand up and it was over. And thinking back to it, that's exactly what it is it's the frustration of the interruption. Yep. Even though sometimes it's unconscious, we don't mean it, or we mean it in good faith.
Yep.
The person speaking is still getting frustrated, wanting to rip their hair out and going crazy every time that interruption arises.
Yep. And that's where, as the individual who's trying to speak, it goes back to not feeling like what I have to say is important. What you have to say as the listener is either more important in your opinion, or you have something better to share, and what I'm sharing is just not worth your time. So I'm going to grab for control of the dialogue and the conversation and share mm-hmm. what I think is better, mm-hmm. which doesn't make you feel good as a person speaking and doesn't really portray a good listener in the process of doing that. John, what would you say or recommend as your don't or thing to avoid when it comes to being an active listener?
Yeah, it piggybacks off of what you both said, and it's don't feel the need to fill silence. Pauses are great, and it shows in a listening environment or a listening interaction, when you allow a pause to exist, you're processing.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to hear or listen to whatever's been shared. Then you're trying to figure out what you've heard. But too often we hear people in interactions constantly jump in to say something in response. And it's because, and if you ask people, it's because they'll say, well, I don't like the silence, it's awkward.
Yeah.
It might feel awkward to you, but it doesn't typically feel that way to others. And I think there's a lot of beauty in that silence because it allows the other party to continue sharing if that's what they wanted to do. They may have taken a pause to figure out, okay, where am I on my talk track? Or where am I headed with my message? But allowing that pause to exist, and we're talking 1 to 2 seconds. I would agree, yes, a 25-second pause can feel awkward and strange. And depending on in-person versus virtual environments, you might wonder, are you still there? Are you listening?
Right.
But that pause can be helpful to allow you to figure out, where do you want to go with the conversation or the interaction? Maybe it's a great opportunity for you to ask an open-ended question. Going back to Matt's piece around curiosity, maybe it gives you an opportunity to say, huh, I didn't even think about it that way, or right. I really haven't been exposed to that type of thought process. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your position or your perspective. But I think really leaning into that silence and allowing those pauses to exist, and just knowing it's comfortable and okay for that silence to be there. It's not as if the other party is going to think, wow, John's not paying attention because he took a 1 or 2 second pause. In more cases than not, it's likely going to be appreciated that you are being thorough or thinking through how are you going to or what are you going to say, as opposed to just rifling off as soon as you hear 1 second of the ability to jump in, you jump in and take it.
Right. And it's saying, having something worthwhile to say versus talking for the sake of talking. And I'm sure almost every person, if you ask them, how would you like somebody to respond? They would say, I would like them to take their time and think about what is the best response versus doing it quickly, but not having anything worthwhile to say.
Right. And it's quality of the response over quantity, or how fast did I get a response out?
Exactly.
More people would say, say less and take your time doing it. That's what's helpful for me. That's more clear than you rambling or, again, jumping back into rifling off at this crazy high rate of pace. Mm-hmm. And people say, holy cow, I can't even keep up. That was overwhelming.
Or it didn't even relate to what I was saying. And now it's just you talking about perhaps your talking points that don't relate to anything I just shared. So then all of a sudden the whole conversation shifts into a different direction and you're still left feeling like, wow, I don't think they really heard what I had to say. And that's frustrating in itself.
Yeah. And we get it with the one on the avoiding interruption side, as well as that little silence side. If there is never a second of silence where you have a chance to ask your question as the listener or to put in your two cents, we understand raising your hand and interrupting in that scenario, but we want you to do it in a way where you're acknowledging that you are causing an interruption.
Yep.
What I like to say to a lot of my courses is when you acknowledge or you preface that either an interruption is coming or is going to occur or that you did it, it's a lot softer upon the person speaking. So it doesn't feel as interruptive. If you say, hey, pardon the interruption, I just want to make sure that we get this in there before we move this out of frame or before we're out of scope of this question.
Yep.
Again, that's okay. We don't want you to do it 10, 15, 20 times throughout a talk. But if there's a speaker that doesn't take a pause, doesn't pay attention to you with your hand up, that's one of those few scenarios where we'll kind of let it go there.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good point, Matt, because to your point earlier about curiosity, maintaining curiosity about the person and what they're talking about is vital in order to pay attention and continue to listen to somebody. But there are certain times where you're lost. As a listener, you say to yourself, wait, I had it a second ago and now I'm not following along. And if you can't get something clarified in those moments, it does make it very difficult for us to continue to listen, because it's almost as if we're listening to somebody speaking in a language we don't understand. And so there are instances where I might have to raise my hand. And like you said, if that person is not looking at the audience or they're not leaving space for questions, I might have to cut in to say something like, Jen, I'm so sorry, hate to interrupt, but you said something a couple slides ago and now I'm a little bit confused. I'm not quite following along. Can you clear that up so that I can keep listening? Something along that line, where I'm doing it because I want to be respectful. I want to be a good listener and follow along, but I can't right now. And and so those interruptions, I think you made a great point about acknowledging it. I hate to interrupt. I'm sorry for interrupting. Perhaps you have to throw your question or point out there real quick, and then you can follow it up with, sorry about that. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did want to make sure we touched on that. But something to acknowledge it to both the person and also from that self-awareness standpoint we talked about earlier, it's just that nice loop back to ourselves on a reminder, I don't want to be somebody that interrupts, but there are instances where I may have to here and there. Okay, so lots of good stuff we talked about today in terms of being a listener. We have those top three recommendations from our team on some of the best ways to listen. Think about your nonverbal skills. Listen with the intent to actually hear what the person is saying, not necessarily with the intent to respond, and then maintaining that curiosity. And then on the avoidance side, make sure you're not shutting somebody out just because they have a different view than your own. Try to avoid those interruptions when you can, and don't be so quick to fill silence. Allow some of that silence to stand. We do have an active listening skills course. So if this is something that you found beneficial and or you would like to go into more depth, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'd love to talk to you about how to put a session on if you're interested. As always, thanks for joining us for another month, and we will see you next time. in our Speak As Well As You Think podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast brought to you by Vautier Communications. Again, I am your host, Jen Alex. Vautier Communications is in the business of business communication skills. We coach and train both individuals and groups on how to elevate their presence and increase their impact through the way they communicate, present, and write. If you want to learn more about our in-person or virtual training options, visit our website at www.vautiercommunications.com. Thanks for listening.